He was a shy, sensitive, and honest man. Impatient and impulsive. Courageous and confident. He was given to great elation, but also often dejection. The Bible says he was one of great sorrow, but one of great strength. He boldly proclaimed God's judgment, but even more so, boldly proclaimed God's grace. The one I speak of is Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet known as the weeping prophet. His name, Jeremiah, means the Lord shoots or the Lord hurls. And surely, Jeremiah was hurled by God into the midst of a whirling firestorm. Jeremiah prophesied as he lived 40 years in Judah during some of the most tragic years of her life. In these days that Jeremiah spoke of, there were days of chaos and pain and loss and just trauma for these people of God. Now, we tend to know more about Jeremiah than most of the other prophets. Some of that was because of his length of service, 40 years, and his frankness and his message. And then he had a wonderful scribe who preserved for us so much of his life. Jeremiah was from a small village just about 4 miles outside of Jerusalem. He was born into a priestly family. It seems that his life was so influenced by the teachings of Moses. He heard the preaching of Amos and Hosea, Isaiah and Micah. And do you remember the call that God put upon his life? Jeremiah chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to me and said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Oh, Lord, Jeremiah said, I don't know how to speak, and I'm too young. And the Lord said, don't say you're too young. You must go everywhere and to everyone that I will send you, and you must say as I command you, do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord reached down out of his hand and touched the mouth of Jeremiah and said, I put my words into your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow and to build and to plant. What a story, Jeremiah. It's 52 chapters in length, this great Old Testament book. But it brings me to two short verses, lest you were afraid I was going to read 52 chapters of Jeremiah. Two short verses in chapter 32, and it's maybe my favorite text. And I have a lot of favorite texts in Jeremiah, but this may be my favorite of all. Jeremiah chapter 32. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? The question of God presented to Jeremiah, the question of God to Jeremiah that Jeremiah would then present to Judah, a question I submit, relevant for us today, is anything too hard for God? I've wrestled with that question throughout my life. and especially throughout my years of pastoral ministry, and especially in the midst of pastoral ministry and building buildings. That's when I would say, oh God, we can't do this. Or dealing with church members, oh God, we can't do this. Is anything too difficult for God? Let me pose three questions this morning. Here's the first one. Is there any problem God cannot solve? We look around our world. There is such emotional trauma. You may not believe it's real, but I submit to you the Me Too movement, the abuse that men and women have suffered that are now coming out, that emotional trauma will take years, if ever, to be dealt with. The emotional trauma that we have seen played out, the history of the Roman Catholic Church, and then this past week, Baptists coming out of the shadows and admitting their own hidden dark secret emotional trauma that has happened. You read the paper? I read it from cover to cover, the Lufkin Daily News, and every single day on the front page and the second page, and on trauma in Angelina County, emotional scars. Then there's financial trauma and disaster. Who would have thought Sears would be in financial problem and now pay less? And you say, you should see my checking account. There's financial disaster. And physical pain, you know it. Physical pain every day that some of you experience. And family chaos. Family chaos, families living in hell. Storms of life. As I talk to the children, storms of life that seem they will sink your boat, sink your life. Storms. What? Here's a storm. Exodus 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and the Egyptians were marching upon them. They were terrified, and they cried out to God. They said, oh God. And then they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to this desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you back in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only must be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? You tell the Israelites to move forward. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. And Moses did. Stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, they feared. And they loved the Lord, and they put their trust in Him and in His servant, Moses. Maybe we've heard that story and read that story from Exodus 14 too often that we have stopped to catch the significance and the bigness. And I ask, is there any problem? God cannot solve. If God could, and God would, and God did solve the problem of the Israelites, can't God solve your problems too? Is there any person God cannot change? Think about that. Is there any person that God cannot change? Think about that one who despises you. They despise you. Think about that one who disgusts you. They despise you and they disgust you. Think about that family member who hurt you so deeply. That family member who hurt you and yours and other family members of you so deeply. Or yet, think about yourself, your sin, your guilt that you carry around every day. Acts chapter 8, Stephen had been stoned, left for dead, and was dead as Saul stood by. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Meanwhile, Saul continued to breathe out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and said, "Could I have letters to go into the synagogues in Damascus? And if I find any of those Christians, whether they be men or women, I want to imprison them back in Jerusalem." He got the letters and off he goes to Damascus. And you know the story. He's blinded by God as Christ speaks to him. But in that blindness, he begins to see for the first time. His eyes were open to God. His eyes were open to the gospel message. Chapter 9 of Acts, Luke says, "Saul then spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus Christ was the very Son of God. And those who heard him were astonished and a bit afraid." Isn't that the man who wreaked havoc in Jerusalem among those who called upon the name of God? And hasn't he come here to take those people as prisoners, according to the chief priest? And yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus as he proved Jesus is Messiah. If God could, and God would, and God did change Saul, couldn't God change any person? Is there any person that God cannot change? And what about provision? Is there any provision that God cannot give? Genesis 22. And sometime later, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham, here I am, Lord." God said, "Take your son, your only son, that one you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice your son as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Parents, think about that. Early the next morning, although there have been times when we thought, "Oh, I could sacrifice my kid." But forget that. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, and took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go over there. We will worship and then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac looked at his father and said, "Dad." "Yes, my son." "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for the offering, my son. God will provide." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. He reached out his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out and said, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on that mountain, God provided. If God could, and God would, and God did provide a ram in the midst of a thicket, I ask you, is there any provision God cannot give to you? The prophet Jeremiah, in the midst of all this chaos of Israel that had turned her back on God, was going her own way, had done all of this mess in the midst of it, God comes to his prophet and says, "I am the Lord, the God of all humanity. Is anything too hard for me?" In one of Henry Nouwen's books, he writes about a lesson he learned from a family of trapeze artists known as the Flying Rodleys. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through a Max Licato study, Anxious for Nothing, and Licato tells the same story from Nouwen's book. The Flying Rodleys. Now invested with them, I mean, they were these acrobats, so filled with elegant poise. And he said, "What's the secret of being a trapeze artist?" And listen to what they said. "The secret is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, my catcher, I simply must stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me safely across the apron. The worst thing the flyer can do is to try to catch the catcher. I'm not supposed to catch Joe. It's Joe's task to catch me. A flyer must fly. A catcher must catch. And the flyer must trust, with outstretched arms, that his catcher is there for him." In this great trapeze of a life that we live, God is the catcher. And we're the flyers. God is the catcher and we are the flyers. We simply must trust, period. We rely solely on God's ability to catch us. And as we do that, we experience something wonderful. We fly. And God has never dropped anyone, and God won't drop you. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? God asked the question, what's our answer? Is there any problem God cannot solve? No. Is there any person God cannot change? No. Is there any provision God cannot provide? No. Thanks be to God. Musicians, come, because we're going to sing that song of faith. I hope it's not just words. I hope it's just not another tune. I hope it's our testimony when we sing, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You have that faith. We're the flyers. God's the catcher. Don't try to catch Him. Trust Him. He's never dropped anyone yet. Oh God, as we come into Your presence, thank God that You're there to catch. There's nothing too big for You. There's nothing. There's not any problem that's too big. There's not any person who's too rotten. There's not any provision You don't want to. Oh God, grant us faith and let us boldly answer that question. Is anything too big? No, no, no. Oh God, we trust You. In Christ's name I pray.